If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny. Greetings in the love divine of the supreme, most radiant, all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is the Ashtar Galactic Command, clarifying our purposes, function, and mission. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and flood your entire being with that higher energy, with all of the multidimensional layers of the grandness and the vastness of your Supreme Self. Take another deep breath. Flood your entire being. Ignite each cell with the living flame of the divine. And one more deep breath. And consecrate your vehicles of manifestation to that supreme it of itself, that supreme love, that supreme light. And so, tonight we're going to speak about something which I rarely speak about for the simple reason that when I mention the Ashtar Galactic Command, generally people have some concept in their mind of what that is. And then they kind of mix it up with the various channelings and the various books they've read and the various things that they have understood about all that. But the problem lies in the fact that they're translating the information through the ego mind, which can only conceptualize things in differentiation and polarity, good and evil, higher and lower, and such. We, however, function out of time, space, and the karmic field, such as you understand it. We function as divine functionaries of consciousness that are not defined or limited by bodies, names, or any kind of a label that you would associate with a military process, which so often is projected upon the Ashtar Command. The very word command, actually, would be more appropriately defined as alliance. We are a cooperative alliance that comes into points of unified intention in serving the highest good of the galaxy, which has been given under our governance by the Supreme Lord. Let me digress a moment and bring it into the understanding of your part in this as a ground-based volunteer, as a light worker, as a light bearer, as a person that is awakening to Christ consciousness, however you want to language that. You know, if you're listening to me, that you've come here to be part of the ascension of consciousness into an entirely new understanding of life, the galaxy, the divine, and everything in between. So first and foremost, it is your dharma, your duty, to bring your vehicles of manifestation, your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, your subconscious, every part of you, into a clear alignment. So there's a congruency between what you think, what you believe, what you know, what you speak, and how you operate physically in the world and with others. It's your dharma and your responsibility to keep your levels of consciousness clear and in balance for the use of the Divine Spirit. We spoke last week about the fact that your entire life was about training, testing, preparing, and positioning you to be 100% available for the Divine Spirit to operate through. There is one Divine Spirit that permeates all of existence. It's been called by many names, worshipped in many forms, presented in many pictures of reality. But it boils down to one thing. It is the love that is the cohesive force that upholds all things. God is love, and you are embodiments of that divine love. Given the Dharma an opportunity to outpicture that in human form, no other species has been given that function. And in that function, you're to awaken at some point and transcend the belief that you're even limited to a singular body and a singular world and a singular name, form, definition. In highest truth, every name and every form is your name and your form when you awaken to that vaster self, which is the all that is. And you will awaken. Jesus said in the Course in Miracles, I love this statement, if you want to be like me, I will help you, knowing we are the same. If you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind, and you will change your mind. So we are here to present as the divine, as the beloved, as the love made manifest, as the living word, as the light, the living light of eternal life. And that's what you're made for. That's your purpose. You were created for this. This is an easy thing for you. The hard thing is to try to create a fiction out of your life. And that's why we don't speak a great deal of ourselves as the Ashtar Galactic Command. Why? Because you're going to make yet another concept in your mind around what you think that is. You're going to try to label yourself. You're going to try to define yourself to some planetary point of origin. You're going to try to make your life all about what you do at another level that you really have no idea what you're doing at that level. But you're going to try to fabricate an existence about something that you know nothing of whatsoever. How can I say that? Because I look and see how you're living your life. I listen to the words you speak. I watch what you put your energy and time into. And it tells me that you're sound asleep and clueless. Sorry to say that. I don't mean to be offensive. But I was sent down here to work with you. I came in 1991 as a future self overlay. Or a future self integration, or whatever you want to call it. So, these directives come directly from the command to assist you in awakening beyond this dream of fabricating a reality which is not congruent with truth or really what you believe in. It might be a nice fantasy to engage in when you feel lonely or besought by the world. You know, you dream of your twin flames and you dream of being beamed up by Ashtar and you dream about the ascension and but if I'd sit down and ask you, what does any of that actually mean to you? And what could that possibly do for your life right now, in this moment, I think you probably would be at a loss of anything to say. that has any relevancy to here and now and who you are and what you are. So obviously, if you're not in the bliss of God, if you're not in that Satchitananda right now, you've bought into some fabrication of illusion that's distancing you in your own mind from your wholeness, your peace, your divine contentment, your divine fullness. You've parked yourself in some identity concept definition that really doesn't do it for you. Why? Because you're not in the bliss of God. That's your touchstone. Until you're in the bliss of God, and what is the bliss of God? That word even misrepresents it. It's a state of equanimity where you watch life as if it were a movie. You enjoy every moment of it, and you don't identify with any of it. You're a happy, very free person inside yourself. You're not seeking, you're not hoping, you're not fabricating, you're not projecting, you're not lacking in anything whatsoever. You inhabit the fullness of your being. And there's a great joy in that. That's ananda, that's bliss. It's not an emotion. It's a state of clarity. Great, great clarity and freedom and ecstasy. But again, it's quiet, still. It's that still, still, still point. So it's your dharma, whenever you step out of alignment with spirit, which would always have a feedback of peace, that you quickly return to alignment. Because the minute you step out of alignment, you're unavailable to spirit. You're in the ego mind. You're in that part of you that is the distractor, that is the accuser, that is the one that would cripple you and hinder the fruition of your true potential. So we have given many, many seminars on how to clear yourself. I'm not going to go into that tonight. There's plenty of books written on all of that. There's plenty of things out there that you can access. I want to speak to you about the Ashtar Galactic Command. Earlier today, a friend asked, why do we call it the Ashtar Galactic Command? And I replied, because that is our jurisdiction. That is our field of service and responsibility and governance. And the Ashtar Galactic Command is comprised of men and women from many, many designations within the universe. And we have literally millions of Ventlas, which is what we call spaceships or starships, and hundreds of motherships. And it's a great alliance of men and women who sacrifice their time to go and travel throughout the galaxy to see how they can be of service. We serve within the jurisdiction of the education of consciousness and its matriculation to higher positions of understanding. What does that mean? It means we oversee everything that uplifts humanity or wherever we happen to be. Whatever brings them more present and conscious of their divine essence and nature. That is what we do, reinforce, encourage, bless, activate, quicken, and impart wherever that's possible. And although we are the peacekeepers and the peace guardians of this local galaxy, we have no military defense systems whatsoever. I repeat, the Ashtar Galactic Command has no military defense systems whatsoever. We can simply shift wavelength and frequency and disappear. at will. And because we have developed a consciousness that is entirely harmless and devoid of violence, our own energy field, individually and collectively, serves as its own protection. As yours does when you have become 100% harmless and nonviolent in your own intention. So you see, love, which is actually another word for dharma, dharma is the behavior of the atma or the spirit. Love is its own protection. So it's only the violence in one's own unredeemed, unregenerated lower nature that causes one to attract and magnetize negativity into one's experience, and also stimulates and activates the violence and the attack mechanism in the lower natures of others. For example, when a planet becomes collectively really negative, it attracts asteroids that then uproot it, which has happened in the past, the time of Atlantis. Had a massive, actually it was before Atlantis, the pre-Adamic race that was the antecedent for the Adam and Eve story that you know of, a more recent seed program on the Earth. And so it attracted a massive asteroid, which virtually destroyed the surface of the planet in an instant because it had served its purpose. It was not unfolding in light and love, it was unfolding in violence. So 100% vulnerability is 100% protection, as Jesus has taught in A Course in Miracles. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. Now I realize this is a concept so totally foreign. It's not actually a concept, it's a principle. But it's so foreign to the average human thinking that I wonder how many people can even grasp that. But I suppose quite a few of Jesus is teaching it in the Course in Miracles, which seems to be gaining in popularity by the day. So what we want to say is only those who have merged into the unified field of pure, what you would call Christ consciousness, can lay claim to that perfect safety and protection. Well, I can hear some of you saying, well, it didn't do much for Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, went through what he went through as a great symbol that nothing can destroy divine love. He didn't stay on that cross. He resurrected to eternal life. He overcame death and hell and the grave and the dark forces. Never forget that. And because of his action, he set everyone on a path of soul transcendence and spiritual freedom through grace. You don't have to go through endless incarnations on the wheel of transmigration and reincarnation and karma. You can step free through grace. And that was what his gift was to the planet as a star-seeded emissary of the Divine Father. So no, we are not a military fleet, nor do we bear any resemblance to such at all, except perhaps in the case of our impeccability and sense of duty and service. In that, perhaps, yes. But we are basically a guardian, shepherding alliance that safeguards the Supreme Creator's gardens of life. This is what we call consciousness zones, i.e. planets, suns, moons, all of the different dimensions that are inhabited, the realms. We call them gardens of life. And I think that's a very beautiful definitive, because we're cultivating the precious fruit of the Divine Spirit in these gardens of life. Each one of you is to be as a tree of life, immortal, bearing much fruit. So the code name, Ashtar, we don't actually have names. We don't use names. When you see a name accorded to any of us, know it is a code pertaining to a specific aspect of the mission in a particular time-space coordinate. It has nothing to do with personal definition. We don't have a personal definition as you would understand it. So the code name Ash, as in Ashtar, denotes a Melchizedek elder who shepherds evolving consciousness programs. And so it's a supervising of the evolvement of consciousness as it passes through the various planetary schools, each one designed for the experiencing and the education of souls or beings. And we supervise, but we do not enforce our will in any way, shape, or form upon any planetary civilization. We're not allowed to do that. Well, I would put one segue in here. We have been given just jurisdiction to stop any escalation of thermonuclear war on planet Earth or anywhere else. We will not permit that. But we have been given that particular freedom to intervene in the event that any nation would try to detonate a totally world-impacting thermonuclear war. So you're all familiar with the Star Trek, I guess you'd call it a protocol. And I would say that that came from us, and that is this: non-violation of free will. Non-violation of free will. So the negativity of any planet or group of beings serves as an energetic guarantee which actually quarantines and bars it from the discovery of any technology that would enable it to export its evil beyond its planetary auric field. You can't do that. That's why the technology, even if you would be given it, you would not be allowed to use it to import or export to any world or in, beyond your own atmosphere, anything that would be destructive to life. We won't allow anti-life or anti-Christ, which is the same thing, anti-love, to go beyond the ego form of a planetary world. And such things would arise, you see, out of the collective ego form, or negative power, or Satan, or devil, or whatever you want to call that, that comprises that darkness that needs to come under redemption. So, people often project a militaristic imagery over the Ashtar Command based upon their own experience with the Earth's military systems. But such is not the case with us. I hope I've made that clear. I want to share something that Sai Baba shared that is kind of riveting. This is from Sai Baba. Embodiments of love, you are agitated today. I know, since the world today is tossed on waves of unrest and insecurity. But do not blame the world for it. The unrest is just the image of your own unrest, which you have projected onto the world. The insecurity is fuming in your own minds. The fear is raising its hood in your hearts. The forces of the world, the beings in nature, are all unaffected, unchanged. It is you who have changed. You are nervous. You are afraid. You have no peace. You wear colored glasses and see everything through those glasses. Correct your vision. The world will be corrected. Reform yourselves. The world will be reformed. You create the world of your choice. You see many because you seek the many, not the one. Try to subsume the many in the one. The physical bodies of yourself and others, the family, the village, the community, the state, the nation, and the world. Thus you will progressively march on towards more and more inclusive loyalties, and reach the stage of unity in thought, word, and deed. This is the spiritual practice of love. For love is expansion, inclusion, and mutualization. The individual has to become universalized, expanded, until he embodies the entire creation. That's the big picture. I always spoke about that a little last week, where you progress to greater and greater and more expanded fields of service until eventually you can inhabit a galaxy like Commander Lord Ashtar, who can even conceive of a consciousness at that level. But you become custodians of ever-widening arenas of overseership, guardianship, and shepherding, and love. Everything's about love. Everything is about extending the kingdom, the divine kingdom. We are said to have come from the 12th kingdom. What is that? Well, it's the imperishable divine God realms, beyond creation, beyond duality. It's what some call the heart of God. It's what some people call the throne of the Father. Doesn't matter what you call it. It's love. It's the one, without a second. Really, about whom naught can be said. So, also I want to speak about the term commander, the title commander. So many accord to it, also a militaristic kind of stance, where in your mind you see like a sergeant marching back and forth, barking orders. But, you know, it has a very different meaning for us. To be a genuine commander means to have surrendered one's entire being at the command of the Most Radiant One, the Lord Christ, whom we, within the command, know as Lord Sananda. Sa, Nanda, means divine bliss. Sa means divine. Ananda means bliss. Lord Sananda is the most blissful one, actually. So a commander serves at the command of the Lord at all times, with no exceptions. So such a person has had to sacrifice all else to serve in this capacity. Home, family, social pleasures, personal considerations, all are laid aside to be fully available to divine spirit at all times. Well, isn't it possible to have a home and a family and all of that and still be a commander? Yes, as long as you are detached. When the Lord calls, all else has to be laid aside, okay? So you can't be in service to the family and in service to social pleasures and in service to a mate and in service to everyone else if your life is consecrated at that level of responsibility and accountability to the Lord. So it has to do with a level of relationship with God. It has to do with a level of responsibility that comes always when you have a level of attainment. Jesus alluded to it when he said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And he who would be great in my Father's kingdom must become the servant of all. So one has to become a servant of all life, to develop the servant's heart, which I think was so perfectly modeled by Mother Teresa. She truly had a servant's heart. And there's been others, of course. I think Alma embodies the servant's heart so very beautifully. And, of course, Sai Baba, and so many. But that's what it looks like. It looks like a life that's laid down in the service of the Lord. So commander is not a title that one can bestow on oneself. It is bestowed by the Lord himself, for only he knows who can accept that burden of responsibility and accountability, and it is just that, a burden of responsibility and accountability. And it's something that you choose into each moment, each second. You can't, like, rest on your laurels at any point, because, like I said last week, it's constant training, it's constant testing, it's constant choosing back. We've all been chosen, but you have to choose back, and you have to choose into the action of the Christ in each moment, each situation, each circumstance. You have to sacrifice that lower nature that always would want to cop out on the easy way, that always would like to not have to put oneself out in any way. So it's those little things that earn you that burden of responsibility, but then when it's been given to you, much is expected. Much is expected. You don't get much slack cut for you when you have basically asked to step forward in universal and endless service. So we of the Ashtar Command do not speak of ourselves very often, for the very reason that our way of life differs in almost every way from what you consider normal upon Earth. And we have sent many volunteers from our worlds to Earth to awaken as the star-seeded emissaries, to assist the Earth in her birthing into a star of great light and radiant beauty. That's the plan. That's why you're here. You're here to be the solution. You're here as the collective advent of the Christ, as the collective Messiah, as the group avatar. It's been called many things. And it's bespeaking of you. So there was a biblical parable of the sower of seeds that went forth sowing seed. And some of the seeds landed on dry, barren ground and were burned up in the sun. And sometimes the star-seeded ones that we have planted here have allowed the parched conditions to dry up their hearts. And so they've never grown and expressed their entire potential. It's hard. I remember when I came into this planet, the birth entity that came into the planet. Wow. It was scary because people weren't smiling. They weren't looking at you in the eyes. Everyone was afraid and worried and upset and crying, and it was very, very scary because I couldn't find love anywhere. Now, if I had allowed that to dry up my own love, if I had just said, well, you know, it's just dry, what's the use, I would not have flourished. Thank God I didn't do that. And then there's others that have fallen amongst the thorn bushes and have been stifled and choked by the pricks and the nettles and the negativity and the jabs and the attacks of the worldly minded and the worldly conditions that people who are karmically predispositioned to this planet because they have not yet learned the lesson of living love, they fight against those of the light. They try to send all sorts of negative accusations against the light bearer to try to stifle and choke out your voice, your message, your mission. They try to silence your voice, the critical opinions of people, the negative posts, the jabs, the cruel remarks. All of that are the thorns that stifle and choke your voice, your testimony, your witness. And then some have fallen into the bushes, which is to be so preoccupied with the cares of the world, the needs of the body, the meetings of the demands of earthly life, that they've all but forgotten that anything higher exists. They've completely gone to sleep, and they've identified with their families and their homes and their pets and their children and their religion and their political party and their whatever falderall. But they've forgotten that they are emissaries of the living God that has come here to birth Earth into a golden age. They've totally forgotten. But some starseed have indeed found a fertility, I think, within their own generation, within their own inner generation. They have created a fertility that enables the rooting in the divine to take place. And they have overcome all obstacles, regardless of how difficult. And they have thrived and flourished and blossomed and bloomed and grown into a mighty tree, which is now producing much fruit. And so we present these weekly seminars for you. You are the inheritors and the emissaries of God's kingdom, that God's will is done on earth as it is in the heavenlies. And you are the inheritors of the universal treasuries. And you are transfiguring into immortal bodies of light, even as they're listening to me tonight. And you shall resurrect as a collective Christ race, a galactic Christ race, ascending with the higher dimensions of Earth into a new position within the heavens, a position now occupied by the lower dimensions of the bright and morning star, Hesperus, or Venus, as you call it. And you shall live upon a new Earth set within a new heavenly skyscape, just as the Bible has prophesied. All of the prophets of the Bible, without exception, were star-seeded emissaries. All of the so-called angels were members of the Ashtar Galactic Command that came and were seen to be other than worldly individuals, called angels, which actually angelos means messenger. And those were all members of the Galactic Command. Most of your spiritual hierarchy, your planetary masters, are originally from other planets. They're all star-seeded emissaries. And, of course, the one that the Lord Jesus called Father, the Lord Sanat Kumara, is from Venus. The Lord Jesus is from Venus. In its higher octaves, which you'd call the kingdom of God, or the God realms, because Venus has been in its golden age for a very, very long time in its higher dimensions. So let's describe a little bit our Merkaba ships of light and how they differ from the UFOs, as you call them. And here I'm going to really take a different vein than just about anyone who you listen to or ever hear speak, because I come directly from the command. And the message that I'm bringing to you is not a channeling. I'm speaking as myself. I come as myself. I speak as myself. No channeling. And I speak what I'm given to speak. So UFOs come from the inner earth, and the auric and or the auric field around the earth, generally the astral belt and that of the moon. The Greys and Dracos and so forth, and other negative beings that you call aliens, also come from these same inner earth dimensions and the earth's auric fields. They're all from the earth, or the fields of energy that constitute the subtle bodies of the earth. So you would consider them as part of the earth's ego self or ego mind. Or, if Christians will simply call them demons, which that'll work too. They are asuras, which is what the Sanskrit term is. And some of them actually have the dharma to tend the inner earth fires. So, you know, the imagery of hell and the devil tending the fires, stoking the fires, has some modicum of truth to it. So these are not extraterrestrials in actuality, but are interdimensional beings from the underworld and midworld spheres. And many, most, in fact, are without a soul. In fact, I would say all of them that I've just described are soulless entities, which means they're thought forms, they're ego manifests. And so they're devoid of that divine spark that was birthed in man, individualized in man, some say 18.5 million years ago by the Lords of the Flame of Venus, according to theosophical teachings. But they are elemental entities of the unredeemed elements of earth, fire, water, air, ether. They are embodied elementals that have not yet individualized into self-consciousness, which is what happens when you have a soul. You get a conscience. You're able to discern between good and evil. These are more of an unconscious force that is not does not have that point yet of divine awareness. So these beings must individualize into soul before they will be upon the ascension wave or the ascension arc that the human beings of Earth are now upon. We are ascending. They are part of the involutionary process of the descent into matter, so that matter may go to the densest point and then awaken and return to light. So they're in the downward process, and we're in the upward process. Now, genuine extraterrestrials are soulific beings, and at the very highest level, they are known as ultra-terrestrial Adonim, which is the plural of Adonai. Adonim, which means lords of light. Sometimes they're called lords and ladies of light, but that too is an error. For at the higher levels, we are not separated into gender definition, but operate by function definition. So we have a sense of wholeness that's virtually unknown by most on Earth, except perhaps those who have become God-realized. There's no separation into gender above the level that you call the fifth plane of soul or Satchkhand, the realm of truth, the realm of Satnam. At that level, you're a unified field. Or we could equate it with the cell, the monad, is like the cell before it subdivides the first time in the mitosis of a cell, like of a fetus. So that whole cell would be, I'll have to use myself as an example here just because that's what comes up. Let's say the function entity, Ashtar Athena, at that level is a unified field that separates out only as it comes down into the tree of Gnosis, or the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, the bipolar governed worlds of duality and polarity. It splits off as negative and positive, or male and female. Why? Because you're in an electromagnetic field when you go down into those psychic and material realms, where you have to have both polarities separated out, negative and positive. So those dual currents are what represent gender in the lower worlds. And that's why the electromagnetic attraction is between male and female to come together to mate, which is actually, in our way of looking at mating, the animal function of the third kingdom, out of which your human body has evolved. But you are not the human body. You are the consciousness divine that indwells the human body as a soul, as a living spirit. So you're living in a body that's evolved up from the animal kingdom, which is why you have the animal nature. And that is what you need to overcome, because you're moving. The animal kingdom is the third kingdom. The human kingdom is the fourth kingdom. And the fifth kingdom is the kingdom of souls. So you stand as a bridge where you're overcoming the lower nature, and you're moving into the divine nature. And that's the function of the human being. That bridging process. So as you overcome your own animal propensities and nature and all that goes with it, the lusts and the greeds and the fighting instinct and the territorial fighting and, you know, all of that stuff that goes on in the animal kingdom, as you overcome that and transcend it, you become divine. You move into the divine kingdom. And eventually you become fully wedded with your higher nature. So at that level, we have no form or, let's say, we have form only as our intention responds to service, to the need at the moment, which means we can step in and out of any place in the timeline and take upon ourselves any appearance, any form, at any time, anywhere. We're not bound to a particular appearance. Nor will you be as you move into and beyond the electromagnetic fields of the lower worlds. So we are whole. We're whole within our essence, and that's why we're called whole light beings. And you know, having shared all this, we wonder if any of you truly can grasp what we're sharing here. I hope so. Because I think it will bring a tremendous shift of clarity to so many of you. So, again, your planet Earth, with all of its physical forms, is electromagnetic in nature. And hence, you have the action of the negative and the positive currents, which are then embodied as female and male energy units. And the procreative function, such as you have it through sexual intercourse, is actually part of the way that animals mate in the third kingdom. But the way we mate and create in the higher kingdom is the entering into and the blending of the rays of the consciousness. Two consciousnesses come into alignment, kind of like the Vulcan mind meld that you saw on Star Trek or whatever it was. And in the joining of the consciousness, in the purest intention and in alignment with the divine, divine it of itself, a third being is birthed. Some of the old Vedic teachings describe how certain of the gods and demigods were born out of the fire and born out of yajna, born out of the various rituals they did. Well, that's what they're referring to. Or if you read in Theosophy, you'll read about the Prajapatis, the mind-born son of Brahman, sons of Brahman. And they're referring to that, or the Immaculate Conception, as in the case of the Master Jesus, as in the case of Satya Sai Baba. And Sai Baba said that the creation starts in the divine way, in Pravesha's divine creation, divine conception. The mantra enters the mind of the father 3 months before the conception. Then the mantra, in other words, the seed of the child, is held in the mind of the man, the father, for 3 months, and then it is communicated to the wife. And then the conception is sparked by Pravesha, by divine immaculate conception, and the fetus is then carried for 9 months by the wife. So that when the baby's born, it's considered a year old in the Vedic understanding. So we create by the joining of the divine rays of consciousness. And then children don't go through baby infancy such as you know it on Earth. They are already respected as young adults, even though they look, you know, young, they look small. They have the consciousness of an adult, and they're raised by the entire community. They're not considered my children. They're raised by the entire community. So again, in the higher realms, and just now I was speaking about Venus in particular, we have a very different way of considering everything. Everything is very different. So our world is vohatic in nature. It is silicone and crystalline in nature. And it is the embodiment of the life force itself, the field of oneness of the all that is. We have no polarity, no duality, no birth, no death, no disease, no lack, no limitation. And you are moving into that state. That's what it means to put on Christ. Interesting phrase in the Bible. I like what John Rogers says when he asks us, who is ready to be born the Christ? What in the world does that mean, to be born the Christ? Well, you might want to meditate on it, what it means to you. Because everything that you become aware of has to be realized and experienced individually, within yourself, and personally. You can't get it indirectly. You have to grow into it, and it's revealed to you as you move into that area with your willingness and your openness to spirit. Revelation is given to you, and God always speaks through revelation. God does not speak through channels. God speaks through direct revelation. Revelation is the voice of God within your inner knowing, your deepest core knowing. And that's what we are to speak from. That's what we're here to live from, speak from, operate from. So love is the way. Love is the mission. Love is the teaching. And when we manifest our ships of light, I forgot to even go into how we manifest it, our light body, our Merkaba, expands as a field of loving intention, which coalesces and joins with others to form the mothership, which is an extension of our auric intention as we move into service. It's a point of view. It's our holy habitation expanded out exponentially with the joining of others of kindred nature. And that's what's taken to be a ship of light. So you can forget about your night vision goggles and you're looking up in the sky for UFOs. because we appear within your own consciousness first, because we don't want idolatry of form. The minute you start putting importance on a form out there, you've entered into some manner of idolatry. And above all, we are to love the Lord God within our innermost being, with all of our heart, strength, mind, soul, our entire being. And only when we do that can we truly love others as that same self. And that is the mission, and that is our message to Earth, because that is what we want you to awaken into, because only in that awakening will you find that the world has always been a garden of peace and a garden of light. And it's only been the mistaken thought that one was separate from that that ever caused anything else to appear. And that appearance is being shined away by your own awakening and your own revelation of your own immortal holiness and wholeness. Let's go out chanting on I Heal. Deep breath. And so we say to all, may all the beings upon earth be blessed. May you all awaken to the living love and living light and living sound that you truly are. May all have peace. May all have grace to ease your way as you awaken to your immortal life. Baruch Hashem Adonai.